Good morning. Let's turn and read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. My topic this morning is compassion. We're reminded in these verses that we have been called to put away the actions and characteristics which come natural to our fleshly bodies, and not only to stop doing those sinful things which belong to the old man, but to put on or invest ourselves with the characteristics which are essential for any person that has put on the new man through baptism. In verse 10, we're told exactly how to put on the characteristics of the new man, by renewing him in knowledge. Continual submersion into the Word is what develops and maintains a spiritual mind within us. If we do not renew our knowledge of God's plan and commandments, we slowly, usually unrecognizably from our perspective, slip back toward the characteristics of the old man. We are therefore commanded to put off what comes natural to the flesh and substitute it with spiritual attributes so it has nowhere to come back and dwell within us. We're commanded to put on bowels of mercies, bowels of kindness, bowels of humbleness of mind, bowels of meekness, and bowels of long-suffering. We will note here that these are emotions and states of mind, but there are also traits which are to be manifested through action. What Paul is referring to by these bowels is that we not just manifest these characteristics on the surface as eye service or men pleasers, but to let them take root downward and bear fruit upward. These are basic attributes that are necessary just to interact in a setting such as this Bible school with brethren from all backgrounds. Yahweh wants us to develop these attributes deep within so that it comes natural to us to be compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient with our brethren. We shouldn't have to force this type of behavior when dealing with our brethren through our normal relationships. If embedded deep enough, we will be moved by our heart and soul when opportunities arise to be compassionate or kind or patient. An example to perhaps help us understand our bowels being moved is seen when a certain topic or story in the Bible or elsewhere causes tears to well up in our eyes. I can tell you that when Joseph reveals himself to his brethren after at least 12 years, and how he could not contain himself because he yearned to make himself known to them, can do it to me just about every time. With some brethren, a certain topic of our hope can do the same thing. Whatever that is for each of you, how you feel when you are moved to choke up, that is what is being referred to when we read verses about Jesus being moved with compassion. He was being moved from deep within because of the condition of the people around him. He was moved not to tears in most instances, but to show compassion, kindness, and patience. This is how we should be moved as well when we see a situation that we can act upon. We'll look at a few examples of this compassion Jesus showed, keeping in mind that compassion, mercy, and pity are all speaking of the same concept in the references we've already read or mentioned. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Chapter 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Also chapter 20, verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Why did Jesus have such deep compassion rooted inside him? Because it is part of Yahweh's character, and Jesus learned to have that same compassion that he saw his Father manifest. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of Yahweh's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In chapter 3, verse 32. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. We see an example of this in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The father here saw his son when he was yet a great way off, and knew he had repented and returned humbled. This was not a time to add grief to grief, but to show compassion and pity, lest he be swallowed up in overmuch sorrow. This is an example of the compassion Yahweh shows on an individual and national level. Will we learn from this display of compassion and show it toward our brethren? Or will we be as the elder son, whose pride made it impossible for him to celebrate the return of his brethren? The parable of the Good Samaritan is given for our learning and our admonition. Don't be as the Levite and the priest, who could not be bothered to help a fellow Israelite because they might be made unclean until the evening. Let us rather be as a stranger who had compassion, went out of his way and bound the wounds, then walked to the inn and paid the expenses until the injured man was recovered. In Matthew 18, we find the parable of the servant that owed his master 10,000 talents, and when he couldn't pay, the king commanded to sell him and his family to pay the debt. The servant begs the king to have patience, and the king is moved with compassion and forgives the entire debt. But immediately the servant attacks a man that owes him simply 100 talents, and casts him into prison when he cannot pay. It concludes with the following verses in Matthew 18, verses 32 and 33. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Yahweh has showed great compassion on us by granting that we should come here and have the knowledge of the truth. He has showed us more compassion just in that one area of our lives than we could ever manifest throughout our entire lives. All he asks in return is that we have compassion on our fellow servants. 1 John 3:17, But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There are no qualifiers on this command. It doesn't say, if he is not a good steward with his money, don't give him of this world's goods that you have. We can help them understand how to become better stewards of the natural blessings God has given them, but we must also provide what is needful for the body as well until they can get back on their feet. We can say, Depart in peace, I showed you how to be warmed and filled, notwithstanding if we give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? That comes from James chapter 2, verse 16. Jude 1, 22 and 23 read, And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We need to understand our brethren well enough to know which method will be most effective in bringing them back if they stray. Compassion, mercy, pity, will always be a necessary part of returning an individual to the fold. It just depends on if it needs to be the initial response or on the back end, so they are not consumed with sorrow. 1 Peter 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 and 9 read, "Finally, be all of one mind, having a passion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Have compassion one of another. There are a multitude of situations that require us to have compassion for our brethren. The fatherless, widows, and those who are out of the way are just a few examples. Also, we have the brethren this week, the Dews from Louisiana, who recently lost a loved one. We have to have compassion. We must recognize that we are all flesh and have shortcomings, and some things that may seem easy for one person may be difficult for another. Have compassion, knowing that you don't want every weakness or shortcoming to be made public knowledge or to get upbraided for it. Having that knowledge should help us to have compassion when our brethren have similar shortcomings and weaknesses. How will we manifest this compassion to our brethren today?